Before I open God's word and share with you this morning, I want to pray because ask the Lord to speak through me, because if I'm just speaking, then it's going to be a mess. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for your beautiful Sabbath and a time where we can focus on you. I just pray that you will come and stand in front of me, speak through me, help me to only say your words, and may each one here realize that you are powerful and that you can do anything, and that you're just waiting to work through them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 10 years of my life have been spent in other countries doing pre-medical services as well as preaching. How did this all get started? Well, when I was 4 months old, my mom had just fed me and put me in the crib and went to straighten out the house. Now, both my parents are doctors. And my dad's an emergency room doctor, and my mom is a family practice. And I have 3 older brothers, so she was cleaning up after them. And then she heard a voice in her ear which said, "Go check on your baby." She thought, "Oh, that's strange. Why would I need to go do that? She's fine. I just took care of her." And then she went around her business, and she heard it again, "Go check on your baby." So she said, "The baby's fine." Before she was a doctor, she was a nurse, and her specialty as a nurse practitioner was in infants. So she knew there was no problem. She heard it again, "Go check on your baby." She ran to my crib, and she found me cold and blue. She was terrified. She screamed a prayer out to God. She said, "Lord, please heal my baby." And she started what was automatic for her, mouth-to-mouth respiration. And when she was this close to my mouth, my life came back to me. After that, she said, "Lord, you can send me anywhere, I'll go." She went from 100% to 200%, if that's possible, for God. But she wasn't really ready to go anywhere. She had just set up her practice in Portland. And December 1, 2, and 3, God gave her a dream. And in her dream, she saw thousands of people waiting to hear the gospel. They were reaching out to her for the Bible. And she said, "No, Lord, not me. I can't do that. Call Mark Finley. He's a much better speaker than I am. He can articulate things so well. Call Mark Finley." And she said, "I'm afraid. I can't do that." And God said, "Do you remember Moses? I gave him the words to say." And the next night, she saw it again, thousands of people waiting to hear the gospel. She said, "No, not me, Lord. I have a husband." And God said, "I know. I gave him to you." She said, "I have 4 kids." God says, "I know. I gave him to you." She says, "How would I pay for all this?" And God said, Philippians 4:19, "I'll provide all your needs." And then she said, "I can't go. I'm afraid." And God said, "Do you remember Jonah?" She said, "Oh, yes, I remember Jonah. I don't want a submarine ride. I'll go." So she went with the voice of prophecy and Lonnie Melchenko to Russia. And there were thousands of young people there. She was doing the youth meetings. She was so scared. She was shaking as she saw all these people waiting to hear. And she ran in the corner and she curled up in a ball. She said, "Lord, I can't do this. They're scary out there. You're going to have to help me." And she went out there and she was able to present. Now, this is what our family was like at the time. I was just an infant. When my mom came home, she realized that she could not have her practice as well as the mission at the same time. So she sold her practice and went full-time in the ministry. What we do is we have a walkthrough model of the sanctuary where we present. It's amazing how all the fundamental doctrines come from the sanctuary. She was worried about providing for our needs as a family. Well, God has always provided for our needs. When we got back from one trip, there was no food, not even any beans in the house. There was nothing. And we all looked at my mom and we said, "Mommy, we're hungry." And she said, "Well, okay, let's set the table." And she said, "Jenny, go get some flowers. Let's put them in the middle of the table." And we said, "Mommy, there's no food. What are you doing? Are we going to eat the plates?" And she said, "No, God is going to bring us the food." So we're all watching the door for God to bring the food. So she brought us all around the table and she knelt down. She said, "Lord, my cupboards are empty. And you promised that if we pay our tithe, there would not even be room to receive all the food and the blessings you are going to give us. So please send us the food. Thank you." And when she said amen, There was a knock at the door. And we all were looking at the door expecting God to be there with food. But no, it was a neighbor. She says, I have a problem. Now, my mom's a doctor, and she says, okay, what's your problem? She's thinking medical, something, emergency. And she says, we have a problem with our garden. We have this row of green beans. It was from about here to here. And it is producing so many green beans. We've had a morning, noon, and night, and we are sick of green beans. Can you help us? She tried to act dignified like a doctor should be, and she says, well, I think we can help you. Well, my brothers and I, we were hungry. We ran out there, we started picking the green beans and eating them. And we got a 5-gallon bucket, and we were picking the green beans into that. And she said, take them all. We are so sick of these things. And so we would fill up the bucket, dump it out on our table, and then go get some more and fill it up. We had 5 buckets of green beans on our table. And so we were looking at that pile of green beans, and my mom was thinking, what are we going to do with all these green beans? Then she remembered the neighbor had told her that she had some canning jars, which she wanted to get rid of. So my mom said, I'll go over there and get those. We had our house for sale because we were really desperate for funds and things. But while she was leaving the driveway, there was this lady was interested in our house, and she looked at it and she said, it's a little too large for what we need, just my husband and I. Then she kind of looked at my mom and she said, what do you do? Now, my mom had changed her look because she didn't want anybody to know that she was the doctor who used to work in Portland. And my mom said, I'm a mother. And she says, I know who you are. You're Dr. Rose, and you are my doctor. And she said that she had come to the church because my mom had been sharing with her as she treated her. She says, now I'm baptized. My husband's baptized. Just thank you so much for being such an influence on my life. And she says, are you guys doing okay? She looked, my father had just lost his job at the hospital. And my mom said, well, we're having some tough time, and she didn't want to really tell her. But she said that my husband just lost his job. She says, oh, I see. We'll be praying for you. So she left, and my mom went to the neighbor and got the jars. When she came back, my oldest brother, Lloyd, came out, and he says, Mommy, guess what happened? She says, what? She said, someone came with so much food. You can't even walk in the kitchen. She went inside, and there were 10 big boxes of food. There was bread, there was fresh fruit, there was cans of things, vegetables. It looked almost like the supermarket. God had provided. That lady had come back from the Dorcas Society. She had started working with the Dorcas, and she had brought all this food. And for 6 months, we were still eating from that supply of food. Psalms 37, verse 25, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The king's table always has enough. We always, when we're presenting the sanctuary, we talk about the table showbread and how there was always enough food there, and it was fresh every Sabbath because that was the best day for them to get their fresh bread, the word of God. He invites us. When you join hands with him in partnership, when you're baptized to work with him, he has promised he will be there. She wondered about funding our ministry. And many times we have the plane booked, everything ready to go the night before, but still no money. And this one time we had a mission story we were presenting at our home church. And not very many people came. There were about 5 people. And we were feeling a little discouraged because there were 5. And I know we're not supposed to think about numbers, but this one man was sitting there, and he was just looking like this. As we were presenting and sharing what God had done, it just seemed like he had no life in him. He wasn't really relating. And then when we were done, he came up to my mom, and he says, I want to help you in your ministry. And she says, okay, well, thank you. The Lord will bless you. We were thinking maybe $20 or something. And he says, I'll have to go to my car. We said, okay, that's fine. He went to his car, and he came back with a sack that was from Walmart, a little plastic sack. We wondered, that's strange. He gave it to us, and we said, thank you. We didn't even look at it when he left. Then after everyone had gone, we looked in it, and there was $12,000 in that plastic sack in $100 bills. That sponsored quite a few trips. But there's other times where we'll be going. This was before we could purchase the tickets on the internet. We would go to the airbase where they had arranged special pricing for us. We didn't have all the money. The man calls. He says, I have 5 more minutes till I close the store, and you're leaving tomorrow or the next day. So you need to come and pay for the tickets. And he says, do you have the money? And she says, yes, but she didn't know what pocket God had it in. So she was driving to the airbase, and she says, Lord, you did it for David Gates. You multiplied his money. Please multiply my money. And the office had closed by the time we got there, but the man was waiting in his truck, and he says, if you give me the money, I'll go in and do the thing. So my mom started counting the money to him very slowly to give God enough time to multiply the money in her bag. 1,000, he counted another 1,000. We had 3,000, we needed 5,000. Counted out another 1,000, he counted it. And she took out that last 1,000 and counted super slow, giving God time to work. And she reached in, there was more money. And she counted, and her heart's just going really fast. She's just, wow, it's multiplying the money. She reaches in, there's more money. But she was $45 short. She said, God, why'd you stop? Why'd you stop multiplying the money? I still need 45. And the man looks at this and he says, what church do you guys belong to? We said, well, we're Seventh-day Adventists. And he said, I'm a Catholic. My mom says, I know some very nice Catholic people. And I've had very nice patients who are Catholics. And he says, you know, stay with that church. They give a lot of money for missions. And he says, don't worry about the rest. God will provide it tomorrow. The next day, there's $500 in the post office. God always provides for our missions. When we work for him, he promised, if you use what's in your hands, he will refill your hands. I started going on trips with my mom when I was 7, because before that, my mom was worried, as a doctor should be, that I would get something over there. And so by the time you're 7, you're not putting your hands in your mouth all the time and said, but I just loved it, because even the little I could do when I was 7 brought so much joy to the people over there. And when I saw my mom preaching, I said, Mommy, can I do that? Please, I like to see people come up and give their hearts to Jesus. It's just so beautiful. So I started preaching when I was 10 in India. It was really fun because the people over there, they didn't expect a little girl to be preaching. And so when they told my mom, don't talk about the commandments here. Don't mention the Sabbath. They'll throw you out of town. They'll kill you. I said, Mommy, they didn't tell me not to. God is the only one who gives us the power to do these things. I just love working with the children. That's what I've been doing, is presenting for the children, but the adults come too. That kind of scared me. When I first started preaching, there were 5,000 people in India. And I just said, Mom, I can't do this. There's too many people. And she says, I'll be right behind you, and I'll be giving you the words if you get stuck. And in Buganda, Burundi, there were 12,000 people. These people were so hungry. The embassy told us, don't go there, because if you go there, we won't be able to protect you. As we drove to the village, there were the rebel groups and the UN officials there trying to keep everything separate. They had a signal that they sounded every night to make sure nobody was on the street, because that's when they would be fighting. But there were 500 people baptized there. And there was no Bible in print when we went there. But 2 years later, we were able to give them their Bibles. And they were so hungry for the Bible. They were trying to take the Bible from each other just because it was so precious. And unfortunately, we only had 700 Bibles, but it was a blessing that we were able to give them the first Bibles in print. God's healing hands. God designs that the medical ministry work should prepare the way for the presentation of the saving truth of this time, the proclamation of the third angel's message. If this design is met, the message will not be eclipsed, nor its progress hindered. When we went to that place in Buganda, they told us, you're going to die out there. And we told them, no. We're going to give them medical services, and they're going to protect us. Sure enough, the captain of their army came to us and he said, I can't see very well. I can't see the enemy. We said, okay, we always take used glasses with us, and we fitted him with glasses. And he was very excited. He put guards around where we stayed so that we would be protected. In my youth meetings, I don't do entertainment. I think that's wrong to just entertain kids because kids can learn a lot. I present the 28 fundamentals as well as a commandment series, and many of the children are ready for baptism at the end. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of men. Normally, I'm a very timid person, and my mom is as well. It is only by God's power that we can actually present or even go to some of these places. We've been surrounded by mobs of people trying to kill us. We've been poisoned. We've been in very many situations where it was only by God's power that we were spared. This is a picture of our sanctuary model in the Philippines. We have another set that is made from a tarp with a picture on it. We wrap it around a frame so that it will go into the jungle on little airplanes. But this one is very large, and we have to have a big truck to transport it. It's very exciting to see these children. You know, many times we think that they can't really be useful in the church, but many times in our meetings, there'll be Catholic children who come, hear the message, and then their parents will come and be baptized. Clinic is always very fun. We go all day. Depending on how much hunger there is in a place, sometimes we'll have as many as 4 meetings a day or just 1 meeting a day. And then we'll have clinic in between. We do the clinic right next to the meeting place so that they'll see the sanctuary and say, "What is that?" And then the people waiting in line will explain to them. We've seen so many things that you'd never see in America. I like the optical department, so that's where I go for during the clinic. I followed an optometrist in Loma Linda, the world specialist, and he showed me a few things. But I want to learn more. That's why I'm back in school. I'm a senior at Walla Walla University, and I'll be transferring out to optometry school next year. I want to learn more and then go full-time into the ministry again. It's just such a thrill when people come and they can't see at all. And then you put a pair of glasses on them and then they can see. They just start crying and they said, "You've given us new eyes, not only physical eyes, but spiritual eyes." So many things that we don't know what to do. We pray and God gives us wisdom. And there's so many people who come to clinic. There'll be 5,000 people all in line waiting for clinic and you can't see them all. We just pray and ask the Lord for wisdom for who is the most urgent. And then we pray that God will heal them according to their faith. And many times, blind people have received sight. There was someone whose brain just turned to mush that was restored to sanity. I like this where Ellen White says in Acts of the Apostles 106, "The Lord walked through them wherever they went. The sick were healed, and the poor had the gospel preached unto them." This is one of our transport modes in the Philippines. Many times people have tried to stop our ministry. Not only people not wanting the local witch doctor, if I could call him that, not wanting our medicine or a spiritual message there, or people thinking that we were a reformed group. Now, we're not. We're Seventh-day Adventists. But God has done amazing things to stop that influence. Through most wonderful workings of divine providence, mountains of difficulty will be removed and cast into the sea. When we were in Rwanda, up on the mountain, the pastor there did not want us there. He had been involved in the genocide, and he had killed some of his members. But I'm just telling you that to tell you that he did not have God's Spirit in him. He tried to stop us from our ministry there, and the local Rwanda leaders said, "We want you here, we want your medical services, and we'll give you a place to share your Bible too." So we stayed in the government place and presented our meetings, and they commanded the pastor to come and help. But this one Sabbath, the pastor had a plan to get us out of there. We had been doing clinic and meetings, so we were tired. We went to bed right after meeting. And after their meeting, the sister of the translator was walking home, and she looked back at the place we were staying, and there was this pillar of fire above the place. And in the morning, she came and she said, "Don't worry, Dr. Rose and Jenny, God is with you." I saw him above the place where you stayed. Before we came to this place, the people saw two chariots on the clouds, and the voice came and said, two of God's warriors are coming to give you the final message. In another place, we were in Guyana, and Elder Ted Wilson came to visit. And it was wonderful to get to meet him. This was before he was General Conference President. But God always does things so that we can get into the places we need to. He was there so he could meet us and get to know us before Africa told us not to come back, so that he could write a letter about us saying that, yes, we are Adventists, and we could give it to them, and so they would open up the door again. He baptized the people from our meetings, and it was just such a joy to get to meet him. He's really a spiritual man. There was a child who needed to be life-flighted, and there wouldn't probably be enough time, probably would die on the way to the hospital. And he was supposed to fly out because they had a ruling where if you didn't land in the capital by sundown, then your license would be suspended as a pilot. And the missionary pilot was saying, we got to get on the plane. Let's go, let's go. And it's like he tuned out everything else. And Elder Ted Wilson just picked up that child, held it to heaven. And it was just him and God having a conversation about healing that child. And the child was healed. Praise God for our leaders. In another location in Guyana, my mom was staying in the clinic. I was in school at this time, unfortunately. She had delivered a baby through the night, and there was a lady who had appendicitis. She had to life flight her out, and she was just exhausted. And there was these neighbors at midnight who turned up their radio really loud, and she politely said, you know, can you please turn that down just for a few hours so I can get a little nap? And they just were laughing at her and just being really crude. And they were doing this every night. And then one night, they saw a pillar of fire above the place she was staying. And when they went to market, they said, don't you dare harm that missionary or do anything. Don't even go near that place because God is with her. We saw this light and it was really scary. And they started coming to meeting. Many times God has prepared the people for our arrival. This lady had a dream a month before we came. She saw the sanctuary. She didn't know what it was. This was in Papua New Guinea, where my uncle Jack Sample is working. And she had a dream where she saw the sanctuary and she saw a woman speaking, my mom, and she heard something that sounded like a piano. She didn't know what it was. It was actually my harp that she was hearing. I take a little travel harp with me. But a month later, when my mom came, she was supposed to speak in a different church, but then something went wrong and they said, well, we have this little place a long ways away where you can go and preach. And that was a place where this lady had had the dream. And when she saw it all, she said, I saw this. And she told everyone, and the people camped around us like camp meeting. And whenever we would go to take a nap, they said, we want another story. Come and talk to us. God will always be with you when you want to share. In this other place, this man had a dream that he saw two white missionaries coming, and that he was to go and ask them to come to his village. We had another week there. We didn't know why, because we were done with our series. And then this man showed up and told us. So we went to his place. This is the kind of baptistries we have over there. We just dig a hole and then put a tarp in it. But this man who had us there told us that he didn't have anything to give us to eat but sweet potatoes. We said, that's fine. Sweet potatoes are good. They're good for you. Come to find out, there was a crazy man who came to live with him, and he didn't know what to do to help this guy. He made him busy planting sweet potatoes. And so months before we arrived, God had this man planting sweet potatoes so that we would have something to eat when we arrived. We had a group of 30 with us that time. We had some locals who had come with us from a different location we had had meetings at, and it fed all of us for the time we were there. God always provides for us. That's the crowd in Burundi. They were just wrapping around 12,000 people. You know, there's so many things that you get to do on the mission trip. You get to learn the culture of the people. You get to learn the language, see what they're like. The most fun thing is when you see their lives change and they accept Jesus into their life. Ellen White says the work of gospel, the teaching and healing are never to be separate. Every gospel worker should feel that the giving of instruction and principles of healthful living is part part of his appointed work. Of this work, there is a great need, and the world is open for it. Working with my mom has given me the desire to be an eye doctor and heal people. We've seen so many things that we never see over here. This little girl, everyone was making fun of her because she couldn't see in school. She couldn't even see the blackboard, even if she was sitting on the front row. And she was crying because she failed the E. Schnellen eye chart test. Well, she thought she failed it because she couldn't see it. And I said, no, that's not true. This is not a test of how smart you are. This is just giving me an idea so I can fix you. And she was excited because there was these glasses that one of my friends back home had given, which were exactly what she needed. She was a little Catholic girl who had come to the clinic. And because of our kindness to her, she started coming to the meetings. And she was right on the front row looking at the pictures, excited because she could see. And she wanted to be baptized. I'm going to end with this one story. When we were in Papua New Guinea at the school where my Uncle Jack taught, there was this one man who came to clinic, and we checked his blood pressure. It was 220 over 170. My mom looked at him, and she says, do you realize you could walk out here and have a stroke and die? She says, you need to do some major changes. And she was talking to him like she would to any other patient about lifestyle and different things that could be changed, and use of water and things and exercise. And he says, yeah, I don't want to die. Please help me. And so every day he would come, we'd check his blood pressure, and he was doing everything we said on the list. In just 10 days, his blood pressure was normal. Come to find out, this man was a lawyer, and he owned most of the land in the territory. And he had dignitaries coming with him to meeting, and he said, this lady saved my life, so you better listen to her. And he was baptized on the 10th day. The pastor said, what did you do? We've tried for years to get this guy to come into the church. And he said, she saved my life. This is the whole purpose of the ministry, is to save people's lives. When we are working for God and we are going through the mud, we don't always feel like our feet are beautiful. But God says, how beautiful are the feet of them that brings good tidings. Your light shall rise. Darkness will be as noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy this soul in drought. The Lord will more than fulfill the highest expectations of those who put their trust in him. He will give them the wisdom and the necessities they demand. God has always done this for us. I mean, times we went hungry, but God always provided for us. When we satisfy the afflicted soul, God will be there. As we are his healing hands, he will help us. He will guide our hands as we minister for him. In order for us to develop a character like Christ, we must share in his work. In order to go to heaven, we need God's character. And this is how we do it. To do what he did, to share his love, we can have his character. Not all can go as missionaries to foreign lands, but all can be home missionaries in their families and neighborhoods. I want to encourage you, as you hear about God's power, to think about what you can do. Whether it's just leaving some literature on a bus or in the store, or sharing your testimony to a friend, I would encourage you that as you share, God will be there to help you. And as you use what's in your hands, God will refill your hands. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank you so much that throughout all my life you've been there and that you've shown yourself strong. I pray that you would empower each one of us as we leave this place to think of new ways to share your love, and that you will speak through us and provide for us and the work. And most of all, Lord, we want you to come soon so we can live with you. In Jesus' name, amen.